Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the conference of results for the fourth quarter 2017 of Grupo Nutresa. Thank you all for your presence and your interest. At the table we have Carlos Ignacio Gallego, President of Grupo Nutresa, José Domingo Penagos, Vice President of Corporate Finance, Santiago Escobar, Director of Corporate Finance, and myself, Catherine Chacon, Director of Investor Relations. After the presentation by the President and Vice President of Corporate Finance about the results for the fourth quarter of the year, we will start the Q&A sessions. The questions we receive through the webcast will be read as is. Those who have connected to the conference via telephone in English will thank you if you send your questions via chat. If you want to follow the slides in Spanish, because the webcast is in English by default, you can download them from the slide, from the platform screen. Those who ask questions, both through webcast and audio, please tell your name and the institution you represent. I leave you then with Carlos Ignacio Gallego, the President of Grupo Nutresa. Good morning. Welcome to our conference of disclosure results for the close of the fourth quarter of 2017. To start with, I'll ask you to go to slide number two about interesting events, where we can tell you that Grupo Nutresa has, for the fourth year in a row, has been awarded with a silver class in the RobecoSAM Sustainability Yearbook, after being recognized as the second most sustainable company in the world food sector, according to the Dow Jones Sustainability Index. This recognition confirms our performance in sustainability over the last year and ratifies our commitment to build a future together. During the last issue of this yearbook, we highlight Grupo Nutresa as the leading company in the industry in social performance, and they highlight significantly the advances in the evaluation, measurement of impact, and the strategy for corrections. We had a total rating of 87 points out of 100 possible points, and we received the highest score in 7 of the 26 criteria evaluated, including health and nutrition, which is very important in our business, and in materiality, risk and crisis management, tax strategy, environmental reporting, packaging, and human rights. At Grupo Nutresa, we've always spoken about corporate sustainability as an ability that is tied to a higher probability of creating value in the future. That is why we created, or we give such a high level of importance to this achievement. Let's now go to speaking about the results for the quarter, to slide number three. First, I'll talk about the quarter, and then we'll talk about the accumulated for the year. So we had, during the fourth quarter in Colombia, sales for $1,449,400 million, with a growth of 0.7%. Well, it was a moderate growth quarter in Colombia, mainly driven because of the by the consumer foods, with a growth of 9.7%. Ice cream in 5% growth, with a significant change in trends compared to the previous quarter, and coffee with a growth of 1.2%. This 0.7% comes from a volume decrease of 2% and a price increase of 1.9%. In previous conference, I've said that the price increase is because of the composition of several things. First, in the change of the sales mix, and also for the launch of innovations with a higher added value, and also an increase in some references. In the last quarter, we were especially careful handling the prices. If we exclude the effect of lower sales of low added value products in pasta, we had an increase in volume of 0.2%. Most of the businesses except cold cuts and coffee would have a positive volume behavior. In the cold cuts, we have a growth of 3.6% because of sensitivity in a year which has a very harsher economic cycle, and we have competition with lower value added value products. The good behavior of the quarter of the consumer food business with a growth close to 10%, and ice cream that, as I said earlier, have a significant change in the trend compared to previous quarters. In the lower part of this same slide, I'll speak about the sales outside of Colombia, which had a significant positive behavior. We sold $286.2 million with a growth in dollars 5.5%. And in pesos, this represents 854,400 pesos with a growth of 4.5%. This is less than dollars growth, but we had some decreases at the end of the year. In the cold cuts, confectionery and chocolate, we had the positive effect of an increase in growth from export from Colombia, and we also had some positive results vis-a-vis the international operations. PM Look with a growth of 0.8%, and we had a moderate growth in all geographies. Coffee was the only one that we see in red with a decrease of 10.4%, had lower sales in the U.S. during the quarter because of the lower orders from international customers. And in the accumulated, we saw that it had good growth. In consumer foods, had a good behavior, especially because of the operations that we have in the Dominican Republic, which had a very significantly good quarter. When we combine in slide number four, this growth for the moderate growth in Colombia for the quarter with the positive behavior of sales at the international level, we have some total sales for the quarter of 2,204,202 pesos with a growth of 2.1% for the quarter. Looking at the businesses, I'd like to say that PM Look that we see here minus 0.2%. Actually, this is because of the effect of the revaluation of rate of exchange. We spoke previously that this in dollars is positive. And in coffee, which is 3.9%, it looks negative because of the international issue, because in Colombia, as I said earlier, it was positive. This is a moderate growth quarter that allows us to close the year, and I'll speak more in detail to the total. In slide number five, we'll see the whole year, both in Colombia and outside. We had 2017 with sales in Colombia for 5,495,400 pesos with a growth of 2.5%. The growth is supported by a moderate price strategy in our different business lines, with a higher investment we did in the market to guarantee preference for our products and experiences by the consumers. We see that 2.5% comes from a 4.6% average in price increase compared to the volumes, which decreased by 2.6%. If we exclude the lower value-added products, confectionery and pasta, the consolidated growth of the year would be not 2.5, but rather 2.9, and volumes would decrease to 0.9%, with prices increasing 3.8%. We see in Colombia during the entire year that most businesses had positive variations throughout the year, with the exception of cold cuts and ice cream. The cold cuts is a very sensitive category to these tight economic cycles. In the case of ice cream, due to climatic factors, where in the first three quarters of the year we had very difficult times. At the end, we recovered partially. That recovery is being reflected also during this 2018. If the result by business, we see good dynamics for growth in consumer foods, in coffee, chocolate, and in confectionery. We exclude chocolate and prices growing at 2.3 and positive volume at 2.8. We say that because actually the cookie business by itself is doing pretty well over the year. These figures are affected because of those sub-products. If we consider the challenging environment that we had during the consumer year in Colombia, we believe that these results show the Grupo Nutrisa's capacity, its brands and its networks, to adapt and to provide good results. In the lower part of this slide, we have sales outside of Colombia, which had an excellent dynamics throughout the year. We had sales were $1,183,000,000, with a growth of 5.7% in dollars, which represent 3,200,000,000 pesos with a growth of 2.4%. This very good performance at the international level is supported by good results both in the international operations and in exports from Colombia. I want to highlight that the export from Colombia grew 19.4% in dollars. This is the result of some work we've been doing developing markets, developing channels outside of Colombia, and these exports reached $233.4 million. If we don't take into consideration the Venezuela effect on the cold cut business, what we speak about international sales or outside of Colombia, we had positive results in every business. In slide number six, we see then that in consolidated years, sales for the year, where we got 8,695,600,000,000 pesos with a growth of 2.4%. Considering a year of a little growth in Colombia and other countries around the region, we thought this is a very positive growth. As I said, this is the result of our market diversification strategy, products and markets as well. It's very important to point out that the sales of innovations, which are a very important driver for growth in the Grupo Nutrisa, represented 20.2% of the total sales and enabled us to reach with differentiated proposals our clients, buyers, and consumers. When we look at the sales for all businesses, the minus 0.3% in Tresmontes Lucchetti has to do with the revaluation because Tresmontes had a very positive result. And ice cream, the minus 3 is due mainly because of the first three quarters of the year, which had was the result of the climate. But we are in recovering. This is the look at the sales for 2017 as a whole. With respect to these sales seen from the regional point of view, please go to slide number 7, and we can see here that 63.2% of the sales were made in Colombia and 36.8% were outside of Colombia. The second geography after Colombia, Central America, where we have 9.5% of our sales. I'd like to remind you that during 2005, before we bought Galletas Tesoro de Costa Rica, our international sales for Grupo Nutrisa were only 18%. Now the platform that we've built based on that acquisition consolidated Central America is the second geography in sales with categories such as cookies, chocolates, cold cuts, ice creams, instant cold drinks, and coffee. That position is a good example of our multi-Latin strategy at Grupo Nutrisa, which is based on loved brands, powerful distribution, and management with the best human team in within a framework of sustainable development. This allows us to work on these two territories. Then, after Central America, we have the United States with 8.2% of sales, and very close to Chile, 8.1%. This multi-Latin strategy of diversification of regions allows us to face difficult years in the biggest market in Colombia, and that we can have ways to grow because there's a lot to do yet. Let's go now to slide number eight, where I'd like to tell you very general the market share in Colombia. This is not a PMI. What I can tell you is that our share in the market over the last 12 months in Colombia remains stable compared to what we reported in the previous year. It's less by 1.2% compared to the same period in 2016. In a challenging year in terms of consumer dynamics, our leadership position in the categories where we participate allows the company to have a balance between profits and growth. As I said in the previous conference, although we give up a little share in the short term, we did that knowingly looking for helping or looking to help the profitability. And this is the situation that we expect to reverse. And we are making the investment that we need in the market. We maintain very important positions, very significant in a dynamic, competitive market, and where we are challenged every day to be better. Let's now go to slide number nine, going to profitability. I'd like to tell you about the commodities index in Grupo Nutresa. You can see here in the left side, in 2017, our commodity index has an average level similar to the previous year. This is a result of our balance dynamic in our raw materials basket. When we see the behavior of different commodities, we can point out the price increases in proteins, pork, chicken, and beef, and a decrease in the prices of cocoa. The wheat, corn, soy, and oils remain relatively stable. This basket is managed with hedging strategies that try to manage this risk, and complementing this with physical inventories when the prices of the physicals are convenient. We had a very good year in 2017 in managing raw materials, and the outlook is relatively stable. To continue going on with the profitability issues, I'll give the floor to Jose Domingo Penagos, our CFO, who will speak to you about the EBITDA based, or starting on slide number 10. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. In principle, I'd like to explain that quarter by reminding you of the seasonality with respect to the sales expenses. This is a historical seasonality which, since we began with the standards where we cannot provision it, we have high seasonality in expenses in this quarter, and this is usually our margins are lower than the average for the rest of the year. This happens in almost or all businesses in the group. Let's go to slide number 10, where you can see the profitability for the quarter, the EBITDA. A margin is 10.6%. This is a margin higher than what we had in the fourth quarter of the previous year, where it was 10.1%, and it grew based 6.7%. As in the business sector in the quarter, I'm going to be speaking about more general, more in the aggregate, and I will talk later about the details of the business units. To analyze the blocks here, we can see a marked growing blocks, which are on the side of the on the left side of the graph, and some that are decreasing, and they all fell on the right-hand side. You can see the positive ones. We have the growth, mainly the cold cuts grows 5.5% in spite of the sustained pressure for the cost of raw materials, especially pork and beef. They managed to grow 5.1%. The biscuit grew almost 11%, a margin closed practically within the corridor. This business maintains its very solid, very diversified results, geographies and categories, and we have the mix very conscious, aware of migrating to higher added value products, decreasing the weight of the flour and subproducts, and this is reflected in the margins in the business and in the growth specifically in this quarter. The chocolate has a very significant growth. 44.2% is the growth of the EBIT in chocolates. Well, speaking about the margin, is 13.3%. We spoke about the changes of the structural changes throughout 2016, 2017, and this is added to the effect of the good price of commodity cocoa. This reflects is reflected in margins and in growth. And last, in the positive side, we have a TM Lucchetti, which has a very good performance in its main categories. We have spoken about the structural changes of the business. What we're doing is capitalizing on these effects. We're reaping these effects. It has a margin of 11.2%, which is significant given the seasonality of the expenses, but it has very good compared to the previous year. This is the growth part. In the decrease part, we have coffee. It has a major challenge from the growth of cost of local raw materials. As a result of that, the margin is 7.9%, and it decreases by 31.5% compared to the same quarter the previous year. Retail food, we've spoken about the protection of the transactions. We focused on that, but especially during this period, this last quarter of 2017, we deliberately did some advertising. We increased our expenses to make it more dynamic, to make more dynamic transactions. So we have, this is an extraordinary issue. We're going to continue using advertising. We're talking about mass media, TV mainly, but in this quarter we did something specifically which represents a higher expenditure with a lower profit in this business unit. I'm speaking about El Corral, and we have El Corral and the ice cream shops in Central America and the Caribbean. Central America, a very long rainy period that affects on the sales of the business in this geography. And lastly, the pasta decrease 8.5%. We have good volume in the quarter, and the size of the business, when we have a lower volume, it affects our margins. And this is my blog. We'll complete with 244,000 million Colombian pesos during the quarter. Let's now go to slide number 11, please, where we can see the accumulated profits for the year. The size of the EBITDA, the absolute value, is over the trillion pesos in Colombia, 1,044,000. It grew 3.9%, and it's within the range. 12% was the margin. This could be the conclusion, but we believe that for the challenges we had during the year, and especially in Colombia during the past year, staying within this range is very significant. Now we'll talk about business by business. The cold cuts, we have mentioned it earlier. There was a sustained issue not only in 2017 but also during 2016. We had significant pressure, especially beef, pork. We've had increases in each of these years of about 20%. The reason is the vocation of the country exporting some material. The prices have increased. We don't think that this is going to decrease in the future, at least not in the near future. So here we have, and we shall have, pressures from the point of view of raw materials that the business is making up for in terms of productivity. We had an EBITDA 11.5% with a decrease of 4.6%. The biscuits, very good results at 12.5% margin, which growing very well. 4.6, I spoke about business diversification compared to the geographies, the strategy, about the flour and products. All of this is capitalized during the year and is reflected in the profits of this business. In chocolates, we continue to grow significantly. It's in the upper part of the range, 14%, growing very well. We saw for the quarter, the year is now exception, 40% for the EBITDA margin. It's a very sound margin. We have a very good purchasing level and coverage for each raw material, so we have very good perspectives for the profits for this business unit, even during this year that is just beginning. For TMLs is in the middle part of the range, it's 32%, a significant recovery compared to previous year. We've spoken about the structural issues that lead to an improved margin, and we have structural profitability, obviously, due to the commercial activities, both in Chile and in Mexico, but we believe that we have installed capacity for the structure and the profitability of Tres Montes Lucchetti, and we should see results in this year. Coffee has a margin within the range, 12.1%, with a decrease of 22% in magnitude, and also it's a matter of raw material. The cost of raw materials is what affects profitability. This business in which this raw material has 70%-71% of its weight on its cost, this is a significant portion because the cost increases, it affects our profitability. We have a good balance between business in Colombia and revenue from overseas, and the issue of the rate of exchange, which when there's a devaluation, it helps the business. In 2017, we didn't have a devaluation. We had a moderate revaluation, and that also had an impact on the profitability for coffee. In retail food, we can see how they wind up within the range. The range is higher. We're protecting transactions. We mentioned the issue for extraordinary advertising we did for the business to protect those transactions to be very current in the market, and we ended up with 12.4%. The ice cream during the year had behaved, especially I mentioned in the commercial part, the first two quarters with a very rainy season in Colombia and very sustained. It improved at the end of the year. We have an improvement for this year, so it's outside of the range with a decrease, a significant decrease of 21%. In pastas, we also have the effects of volumes that we mentioned earlier, which are reflected in the margins in 9.9%, with a significant growth of 11.5% compared to the previous year. So, as I said at the beginning, for the commercial situation we had in Colombia, we believe that these are very sound results from the point of view of the profitability over 1,000 pesos growing. That is the main explanation for the operating part of the P&L. And now go to the slide number 12 to analyze the first PLD for the quarter. We had an increase in operating increases. Look at the sales cost. Did not grow 0%. This was the result that we maintained during every quarter. Very good cost behavior, very good behavior of purchasing and coverage of raw materials. This leads to significant expansion, 120 basis points, and this quarter was no exception in this behavior, and it gives you a drive together with the control we have exercised for management and production costs, which decreased by 0.4% and 7%. This gives us the control to be able to invest in the market. So marketing expenses increased by 7%, but that's what we think a company should be doing in a market situation like that we are in Colombia in 2017. So the general equation of profitability and returns is seen here, and this is what we believe happened in the previous year. So, as I said earlier, this gives an EBITDA of 243 million, with a growth of 6.7%. From the point of view of the post-operational points, we have the expense of financial expenses, which continue to decrease. We have a decrease of 21% because of the decrease of the rate of exchange from the, of the rate of interest for the central bank, because of the sensitive structure of our debt and a very proactive attitude in constant renegotiation of all the terms for our debt. We were able to take advantage of all these benefits, and we had a very good decrease. In this case, the decrease is good. And the other thing is the taxes. I'm sure that you have in your analysis or probably have your questions about it. And this is a variable for us that adds value, but there's very significant decrease during the quarter and finally for the year with an effective rate of taxes, which we believe is very competitive. I'm going to take a second here to remind you, beyond the number is the structure of Grupo Nutresa. First of all, it's a basket. It's a basket of geographies, very diversified, where we have all our origin, all our income from. Then we have stability in Colombia and some of the companies that allows us to have some benefits because of the investments in productive fixed assets, some specific investments. And we've been capitalizing on that for many years. The previous year was no exception. Thirdly, some tax reforms. The tax reforms mainly in Colombia and in the U.S. In Colombia, we had a reform at the end of 2016, which affected all the 2017, which gave us the benefit in the effective tax rate. And at the end of 2017, a tax reform in the U.S. You can see the importance of that geography from the point of view of revenue and return for the group. Here, the rate went from 34% to 21%. And we have all that benefit because we, until the end of the year, we had provisioning with 34%. We have a provision of 21% for the end of the year, and that has a very significant effect on the effective tax rate. Then we have the opportunity to have accelerated depreciation of our assets that we acquired during the 2017. So these are different items. It's not a single topic. It's our several variables that we have. All of them are structural. These are reforms because they change. They're part of these reforms in these countries. And these are structural reforms that allow us to have this improved or get that benefit from the tax rates in the quarter and for the accumulated for the year. And speaking about the accumulated for the year, the quarter ends up with 95,500 million pesos of net profit in Colombia, which is 16%. Now, speaking about the accumulated, slide number 13. We have a flat, the increase of 0.2% in operational expenses. We have the Venezuela effect, which, as we said, it's 2.4%. The topic about costs, I already spoke about in detail. We can see the results for the whole year is an improve 140 base points in our gross margin. And these are the numbers for the year, but the effect is exactly the same as I mentioned. A lot of control and management and production expenses, and being able to invest in the market. In differences of the rate of exchange, both operating and post-operating expenses, we don't have any major variables. The revaluation is 0.6%. We went from 3,001 Colombian pesos per dollar, which is the functional currency. We went down to 2,994, and we had other operating revenue, some insurance operations, and some projects we have started in the U.S., which is the city there contributes to cash for those projects. So this is reflected in operating expenses. That's how we ended with an investment of over $1 billion, and in the accumulated, in addition to what I mentioned earlier, the sustained financial expenses and the income taxes. Also, we have the levels that we have in our investments in Suda and Argos over the year. And at the end of the year, we ended up with net profits for 420,200 million Colombian pesos, which is a growth of 6.2%. Lastly, during this section, let's go to slide number 14, where we tell you about debts and capex and the year that is ending and the year that is beginning. We tell you what the expectations are or the budget for that we have for that. First, our debt. For the EBITDA, it's 2.49 times. Decreased significantly. We achieved this result as a greater discipline in working capital, in capex, and in some disinvestment, or rather monetization of real property. So we had better indicators. I'd say in the real property funds, this could be 2.6 times. We are within the range that we had promised around the same time this year, 2.5, 2.1. I'll remind you about the seasonality of this indicator. This was improved in the end of the year. The first quarter, and maybe the second, a little, are more intensive in some working capital issues, labor expenses. So we'll talk about it during the year. We'll see a slight increase at the beginning of the year, and we have a range between 2.3 and 2.5 times for 2018. So we think we're going to be continue producing cash to non-leverage the group, and in that range we can end the year 2018. The cost of the debt is also decreased. We see the financial results decrease, but the rate of our debt is 7.24%, a significant improvement compared to the previous year where we had ended at 9.5%. And this is better availability of resources that we had in the financial sector, but also in the company's cash. In capex, we ended the year with 240,000 million pesos. There is a play with this divestments in the real property funds. We discounted 144,000 million pesos. 240 if we discount the effect of the funds. We are committed to this 140 for 2017, and we've defined a budget for 2018. It's 263,000 million Colombian pesos. So this is the capex for the entire group in Colombia, and which is our main geography. I will not give you the percentage of sales, but if you do calculations historically, you can see that this is a very competitive level. It reflects the commitment that we have to this capex discipline, how it has decreased over the past several years. In the same conference last year, you were asking us whether that commitment of 200,000 million pesos was for a single year, or we maintained that. This new budget for 2018, we ratified that there is something about the capex discipline, and we're going to maintain the capacity for the future to get better returns and better cash. This is the end of this section. Go back to Carlos Ignacio to tell you for the outlook for the 2018, and then open up the Q&A. Thank you, Jose Domingo. With respect to the expectations for 2018, I'd like to speak first about the commercial part, sales. And we expect that we'll continue gradual recovery of consumption in Colombia. It has been taking place, although slowly, both the consumer confidence surveys and the surveys they do in home expenditures confirm different trends. So we see a gradual recovery of consumption in Colombia. We'll be very active in innovations. I was speaking earlier about over 20% of our sales come from innovations. We continue to be very active during the year. We need to be very careful with the prices. This is not the time to make major price increases, and we'll add to this a good international dynamics. So this excellent 2017, we believe 2018 is going to be a very strong year in international sales, and if we add all of this, we have a very good, positive outlook for sales, both in and out of Colombia. With respect to the profits, relatively stability of the commodities, and we add to that a strategy where we have very good coverage and physical inventories that allow us to reasonably speak about this stability. And in the countries where we act, we have moderate inflation. And in Colombia, rate of exchange around 3,000 pesos per dollar, with some volatility, but very much focused on those 3,000 pesos per dollar. Speaking about productivity and efficiency programs, will continue, and the combination of all these factors allows us to foresee for the year an EBITDA within the corridor with positive trends compared to 2017. This is what we expect to have for this 2018. So, Catherine, I'll give you the floor to go to the Q&A. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Let's start the question and answer session. We have the chat option through the webcast, and we will be reading them literally. To start the session, I'll read two questions from the webcast. I'm from Gary from Alpity. Given. Yes, I'll answer both questions. Thank you, Lonnie, for being with us in the conference. The first question has to do with the initiatives for efficiency and productivity, and I'd like to mention that we are totally convinced that these programs are necessary, that will be an important source of value for our organization. These efficiency and productivity programs affect the entire organization, not only production, but also the commercial part and the administrative areas. Let me mention in general the major initiatives we have going on, an internal program which was ATLET, which is a program for efficiency in supplies throughout the organization based on leveraging our purchases, including the global purchase and also design to value, to, you know, from the design until the product is in the hands of the consumer, make sure that we're delivering what the consumer really values and they're willing to pay for it. Secondly, we, for several years, we've been having initiatives with increasing the productivity of labor, mainly through automation and redesign of production processes. We also have ongoing programs in the supply chain to optimize inventories without deteriorating the service level and optimizing the response of our chain, entire chain of supply. In sales, in all our plants, we have special programs of loss reduction through TPM, and there is an ongoing program, full program, that has to do with efficiency in the use of financial resources, especially reduction of working capital and efficient allotment of capital. Domingo was mentioning what we're doing in CapEx, and that is without stopping any innovation and without stopping any initiative that improves our business capacity to use less capital for it. And lastly, the marketing, the quality that we have return of investment on marketing that complement innovation. You innovate not only to put new products in the market. Every day we have innovations in processes and in business models. This is a very general overview of what we have in efficiency and productivity. The second question is some changes in growth in channels. Let me tell you that we do not see, in the case of Grupo Nutresa, a major change. When we look at the group as a whole in 2016, only 22.9% of sales were through major chains. That number didn't change much in 2017. It was not 22.9, but 22.8. And we have 52% of our sales with the traditional channels, 8% in restaurant chains, 5% industrial, 8% in alternative channels, and 4% institutional. So in the total pie of Grupo Nutresa, there are no significant changes. It is important to say that the two channels that Florian mentions in the question, such as retail food and alternatives, do have growth, which are higher than the average growth of all the channels. This shows why Grupo Nutresa decided to invest in those areas, because they wanted to be closer to the consumer and to have higher average growth than the other channels. But they still don't see, or they don't show any significant change in the general average. I hope this answers your question. We have no further questions through the webcast. We will open up to the questions through the audio. Now we will answer your questions over the phone. If you want to be eliminated from the waiting list, press one asterisk. We have one question from Mr. Andres Soto from Santander. Go ahead. Good morning, Carlos Ignacio, José Domingo, and Kathy. Thank you for your presentation. My question is about return on capital. When you look at the numbers for 2017, the return of capital was 9%. Could you repeat the question? We didn't hear you. Andres' line has gone dead. We hope we can reconnect. I have a question from Felipe Ugro from Scotiabank. Go ahead, Felipe. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for the time for the question. I'd like to start by talking about the expenses for the quarter last year. I asked you the same question, and they give us an idea that there was going to be some seasonality in the quarter. We've seen a quarter that is similar to the previous. Could this be the same seasonality that we can expect in the future of this magnitude? And if so, perhaps the fourth quarter will be below this range of the other three quarters. That's with respect to the expectations. Another question that I wanted to ask is about the relationship with the consumer. You have very growth in the quarter. It was not expected for us because traditionally it's more discretionary spending. But we also give you some idea that there have been higher expenses in advertising, especially in television. So could you tell us a little bit more about what what is that like? How long should we wait to see a significant event on sales, because the advertising in the fourth quarter should have a delayed effect over the next quarters? And also whether you're making new innovations in products and product offerings. Let me take the first question about the margin and the seasonality. Indeed, the fourth quarter has a seasonality in expenses. Since we began with the new standards, we cannot do a provision. The provisions left some seasonality. You could linearize it more, but the fourth quarter is higher in expenses, especially marketing, and this is the type of margin that we will be seeing in the fourth quarters in the future. This is what we've seen in the last 2 or 3 years. Specifically, in the fourth quarter of 2017, we do have an increase in those sales expenses, which is normal, is not for 2017, as I told you why. Because more seasonality, our investment in marketing, the advertising expenses, what I explained about for El Corral. So it's a little extraordinary situation, but it gives us an indication that we might use for the future. But usually the expenses for the fourth quarter do indicate a seasonality, and we expect that during the following years. And Felipe, about the question about retail foods, I'd like to answer that by saying that the entire retail food business that we see is a combination of the ice cream shops in the Caribbean and Central America and the business that we bought in Colombia. We mentioned earlier during the presentation that we had an exceptionally good year in Central America. Was a more challenging year because of the rains. Then in Colombia, we had good growth. The factors that have to do with the growth we mentioned, Rosa Mico mentioned that we decided to make an investment in advertising, and this has been very interesting. Actually, that business, we have some very light brands in Colombia, and last year they had not had any communication in the mass media. So what we did was that communication connected to variables such as establishing caps for entry-level prices. People can go in and test with very introductory, affordable prices, and then they can go up and use higher added-value products. And added to the remodeling, opening more outlets, and the closing of some of the stores that didn't provide good results is what has enabled us to have these growth levels. I'd like to tell you that was not something surprising, and that we are seeing that again at the beginning of this year. We are very happy. It's counterintuitive, because we thought that in a hard cycle the categories would not or should not grow as much. But when you look at the statistics for the consumer baskets in Colombia, you see that entertainment wasn't hit as hard. So people limited themselves in durable goods in some categories. They switched to other products. Lower prices, but in entertainment they continue to grow in this country. So what we're doing is that we see an additional expense and investment in the market, but sales are responding in marketing. You cannot ensure how long that return on in marketing will last, but brand building, services, communication, experience, and product that make the brand capital make it stronger and allows you to attract the consumer. And the challenge is to return that attraction and that liking for transactions. What we've been working on in Colombia, as we said earlier, is to preserve the transactions, bringing people to the stores and make them to buy or be able to buy higher ticket items. This is my comment about retail foods. And to the next question, we talk to Andres Soto, who's... go ahead, Andres. Yes, as I was saying, the return on the capital used was around 9%, which is the lowest level that this company has had over the past 5 years. And I'd like to find out, what is the outlook for, in this respect, what do you think is an acceptable return for this type of business? And specifically, when you itemize the behavior of the margins, and you cannot get the return by business, but if you think of what categories such as cold cuts, ice cream, and retail foods, which are capital incentive categories, you might think that the current profit levels are not aligned with what you should expect for this type of business. So try to understand what are the initiatives that you can use to improve that. Thank you very much. In principle, the statistics, the lowest part is the returns of the two acquisitions when we bought these two other businesses, El Corral and the ice cream. Based on that, we set up some very good goals to increase our return on capital, on the capital we used. And the previous year had an improved compared to 2016. And at the structural level, this is also a basket, not only of geographies or the categories, but rather of businesses, which are mature businesses and other acquisitions. In some mature businesses, we have very high returns or high returns compared to the cost of capital, very much above the cost of capital. And in the acquisitions, when we buy the companies, they increase our cost of capital by 8 or 10 years. So the margin was not the drivers for creating a return on capital. It was about 0.1. This is an indicator that we have over the running year to avoid the cycles or the volatilities. And this had a very small increase. We went from 11.9 to 12. But we, through the working capital, through CapEx, and through taxes, which also has some benefits in which we've been working on, we worked them a lot. Others, like the United States, we were able to increase our return on capital used. We increased that, but it's still not enough. So we've set ourselves a very aggressive goal for 2020. Because we had from a lower level, but the relevant part is to overcome or get higher than the cost of capital over the next several years by applying the projects that have to do with the same topics, which CapEx, working capital, and of course the margin increases that is key for the increasing our returns. In the purchases, we also have, for example, some. Different times when we show that in the basket we show some specific numbers. For example, like Tres Montes located with expansion at the margin, it's a very young acquisition and managed to improve their return on the capital used. So this is a very comprehensive formula that has projects in each one of these elements, and the margin expansion is also something that we have to look into very closely at the future. Any comments about the cold cuts and others that in cold cuts the return is very much aligned. This is a very good example. Cold cut by itself is the product of an acquisition. When we made those acquisitions, we were looking at the cost of capital. We'd get it back in about 8 or 10 years. Now, this is one of the businesses where, although we've had some raw material costs and some decrease in the EBITDA, the return on capital is very much higher than the cost of capital. In the ice cream business, we deliberately implemented some projects to colonize the mom-and-pop stores by investing in freezers, and that has effects on the initial capital, but also in the successive capital. We already have a very good presence of freezers, and that affects the returns in the future. Next question is from Federico Pérez from Bancolombia. Go ahead, Federico.
Good morning, everyone. Carlos Ignacio, José Domingo, and Kathy, thank you for your presentation. I'd like to ask two questions. One, I think that Carlos Ignacio gave us a view of what to expect for the next year, especially in sales with a gradual recovery of consumption. But be more specific, please, about prices and volume increases, perhaps during the first half or the second half of the year. You see some categories that are still weak. But can you give us a little more, a better outlook with that? And also with the sales expenses, although you said your questions were asked, we have intensively increased your sales expenses. I'd like to find out what your outlook is for this year, looking for the volumes, perhaps in the second half of the year, you can recover them. That would be the first one. And the second is, it would be more for José Domingo in terms of profitability, mainly the three businesses, which is more hardly hit, which were coffee, ice cream, and pasta, which are the most hardly hit, most hardest hit. Could you give us a little idea what you expect from these three businesses for the next year? I know that coffee was affected by the cost of local raw material, but perhaps you can give us a better outlook of what you're expecting. Thank you, Federico. I'll take the first part of the first question where you spoke about prices and volume, and I'll leave expenses and profitability for José Domingo. So I mentioned in the presentation that we don't see that this is going to be a year to make major price changes. Actually, we believe that if we have to increase profitability, we'll do that through efficiency, productivity, and innovation. That is launching higher added value products that the buyer identifies as a different value proposition and is willing to pay more. In no category do we see any need to make major price increases, and we will do everything we can to keep our price levels. And whenever it is viable, we might even reduce the prices, if possible. With respect to volume, we mentioned during the conferences last year how we, at the beginning of the year, we had some very marked decreases. And those were closing up at the end of the year. And we expect to go into positive volumes this year. We don't expect to decrease volume this year. We expect a large number of SKUs, but in general, I would say that in our projection for the year, these are stable prices, very major efforts in productivity to reduce costs and expenses, and volumes, in the positive volumes, growing in tons. So sales expenses, for this question, I'll give you José Domingo to answer that. What about the expenses? Well, I could tell you that we're going to maintain our investment level. I think that what we have to do in a company like ours, but the financial will come through the dilution. So we're going to have a moderation as a percentage of sales if we have the increases in sales, but we're going to be maintaining those levels of investment in the market. And you had some guidance about coffee, ice cream, and pasta. Well, coffee has a very tight outlook from the point of view of raw material, and we think that is going to hold for the rest of the year. The business effort is to go through productivity, expansion, the revenue, but it has a major challenge in the EBITDA margin for this year. We believe that we're not going to be below the range, but it has a major challenge. In ice cream, on the contrary, we believe that it's going to increase our EBITDA margin during the year. And we've worked a lot on all the elements of the distribution chain. We said that the La Niña, there's going to be a Niña, but it's going to be more moderate than last year. We had a very good start of a year, so the outlook is very positive with respect to the increase in margin for ice cream. And pasta, very similar to what has been happening over the past months or years. Major work in pasta would be return on capital, and it's campus, the management of working capital, and we believe that the EBITDA margin is going to be similar, but the returns on capital investment are going to increase. Yes, thank you very much. Next question from Rodrigo Torres from Analytica. Thank you very much for your presentation. Just one question about Venezuela. How are you projecting due to the economy there, and how is that affecting the group in its operations? Are you maintaining the operation, or are you getting out, or what should the strategy to prevent that from affecting the results in the future? Thank you. Thank you, Rodrigo. I'll answer the question. Let's start with the end. The last question is, with the results we've shown are not affected by Venezuela. We had taken, at the end of the third quarter last of 2016, we had decided to record accounting-wise our investment in Venezuela as a financial instrument. That reduced our risk and make that risk in the case of that operation. We had some major problems. It wouldn't have a significant impact on the EBIT of our Grupo Nutresa. In our reported sales, we have no item for Venezuela. That is why in Venezuela we show the distribution, geographic distribution sales. Venezuela appears with zero. We have two companies. One is a distributor that has three employees, and the major challenge obviously is keeping our brands in alive. We want to keep them alive for when there is some change in the economic situation and it will be possible to sell. We will be the first in line to take advantage of the opportunity. Secondly, we have a company for cold cuts. We have a self-sustaining, which is managed mainly from the point of view of continuity and risk management, and where the strategy is to be alive there, keep the brand, keep the operations. Because of the property situation in the country, that company right now is producing less volume than before, but it is a viable company. It has a positive EBITDA, which only will have revenue for us when they provide dividends. Now they're trying to just stay alive. So the strategy there is the same. Simply, with the decision we made, we eliminated any possible impact, and we keep our brands and our presence alive so that in the future, in the country which has some very much higher consumption per capita than the rest of America, we might be able to use that opportunity. But right now, it doesn't represent a risk. Rather, it's more of an opportunity for the future. From the point of view of sales done from Colombia to the border areas, these are businesses that are recorded as sales in Colombia, and that happens with Venezuela and with Ecuador. Those two regions of Colombia are growing at higher rates than the rest of the country. But I would say that they're not of such a magnitude that will do anything to change the total operations of Nutresa. Venezuela is an important market, so our brands are known and people love them. And hopefully in the future you can have conditions for growth. If you go back 15 years, those sales at the time were about 10% of total sales of Grupo Nutresa. Now, in the results that we show you, are 0%. So they are not a problem now. They are an opportunity for the future, whenever we can sell there. Thank you very much. Next question from Mr. Daniel Barriola from Actual. Good morning. A couple of questions. One about growth and the other one about price strategy. I'd like to find out a bit more looking at the goals that you have towards 2020, whether this goal is still alive and what is the strategy behind that goal to achieve growth of close to 11% between here and 2020. And about prices, I'd like to know, can you tell us more information about the change of product mix to higher added value products? And how much that did that represent that into a price increase? And what should be the increase because of the change of mix in 2018 and 2019? Thank you, Daniel, for being with us in the conference. And I'll be very glad to talk about the two questions. First, about growth. We proposed a goal in Grupo Nutresa of doubling the sales in 2013 for 2020. That growth, we always thought, should come from a combination of organic growth and inorganic growth. Within the organic growth, the innovation is very important. It was in 2017 and will continue to be important in the future, but also is important to develop channels and to expand the categories throughout the region where Grupo Nutresa operates. With respect to the inorganic growth, one of the positive effects of the good performance that we've had in decreasing the indicator of debt net to EBITDA is that we're going to improve. We're going to be able to achieve the goal. We've always wanted to make the best acquisitions possible, and as that is reloaded, and we see that as a, you see, we're not going to be making any good acquisitions just to achieve the goal. We will make them if they are good and if they add up and they make a company better. But our major goal is still alive. We're going to go for that figure, and we believe we're going to get it as a combination of these two factors that I mentioned. Organic growth with innovation, channel development, category expansion, and inorganic growth by investing in good companies that make this group better, both medium-sized or large companies or startups that we might make grow and accelerate using the framework that we, Grupo Nutresa, have set up in the region. With respect to the second question about prices, I'd say that when we speak of prices, we're speaking about a major basket. The question that you ask is there's no way to answer that in detail. We don't have like a goal that changes. We have some
goals for selling innovation. I was reporting that the sales of Grupo Nutrisa in 2017, more than 20% were innovations. What I can tell you is that we expect that figure that was 20 would be no less than 15 in the next few years until 2020. So we're going to continue putting a lot of pressure on this positive effect of innovations on the group sales, but we don't have a specific detail to answer your question that you asked. Thank you very much for being with us during this meeting. Thank you, Daniel. Next question is Joanna Castro from Itaú BBA. Go ahead, Joanna. Thank you for your answers. My question is what we see in Colombia, especially her audio is coming and going. I'm sorry. What you were asking, we think, is that the growth in Colombia has been more in the regions than in major cities, and how we were getting prepared for that. I think this question refers specifically to Colombia because there are topics that are more or less similar in other countries. So first thing I'd like to know is that in our follow-up, we've seen that in spite of the difficulties that we have of the most complex year, which was 2017, in terms of consumption, the employment has not been hard hit. With respect to the growth of the employment, has been in the periphery and in the provinces and not in major cities. Grupo Nutresa has a network of distribution that reaches more than 900 municipalities and in Colombia, and it's one of the comparative advantages that we have vis-a-vis other players. We reach through a combination of our own facilities where we have our distribution centers in the regions and through third parties, allies that allow us to reach isolated areas. In the case of Nueva Venta, we have more than 140,000 entrepreneur women who we more than 10 million homes. So 2 or 3 years ago, when the company invested significantly in CapEx, most of that CapEx was to strengthen the capabilities of our distribution network. Those capabilities are there. We're using them and we do have, we see it much more obvious than what we're doing. We believe that we will, Nutresa is one of the best prepared companies to make use of this increase in revenues in peripheral and rural areas. Our company, as we mentioned earlier in Colombia, is a company that is prepared to be more than 5 million transactions a day and reach many regions with small orders and to serve many small volume orders. This is our capacity. We see that, but we see that it happens. If that happens, the company is very well prepared. Our idea, however, is to grow both in the cities and in the provinces, and that makes us have a differentiated value offerings for each segment in each area, and we're going to have an infrastructure to deliver that for each segment. That's what we're trying to do, reach each one with whatever they need in the most efficient way and which also provides returns for the shareholders. Thank you, Joanna. Thank you. What you mentioned that in other areas is happening the same thing. In what other countries is it? There are countries in Central America, like Guatemala, which they have a growing population, and there's also remote areas where there are possibilities of doing a lot of business. And in general, in emerging countries, I'd say that the most different is Chile, where the modern channels have a significant way. But in other countries, there are possibilities. There are countries where major cities, like you have for Peru, very highly developed cities, but with the rest of the country, there's a lot to do there. And that capillarity, if you do it profitably, it's a challenge for companies that have. We've always spoke about the pillars of the business and group promotion. So we speak about the people, the brands, and distribution, and the distribution as a package to be able to deliver value. It's a major challenge, and there's an opportunity to do a lot of things, not only in the cities. The periphery is important, and it should grow. Thank you very much. Another question from the speaker from Scotiabank. A follow-up question about a channel check trip that we took a short time ago. Could you tell us about the cash and carry phenomenon that is taking place in Colombia, which is obviously changing the dynamics of, and there was a very competitive dynamic in those formats where we have company products present, but also seeing own brand competition, especially after the comment that you're seeing in the cash and carry. Are you seeing any effects on the cold cuts, where we see some penetration of products at very, very low prices? Thank you, Felipe. Your question is very interesting, and what I'd like to say is that we are also see that cash and carry as a growing channel and as a major opportunity. There are very important players there. We have PriceSmart, we have Al Costo, the initiatives by Grupo Éxito, and what I want to tell you is that those channels that the first in Colombia had portfolios that consisted mainly by the imported products and a lower share of Colombian products. After the devaluation that Colombia faced 2 years ago, those chains adjusted their portfolios, and now the share is exactly the opposite. They are formats. They do have presentations in sizes and number of units, which is different, but where today the Colombian products are the majority of what they sell. We've worked actively with these players. We've developed special presentations for those channels, and we play well, we grow. They are channels where we have an important share, and in those channels specifically, we do not see that cold cuts are affected. As a matter of fact, they grow in those channels. We have to increase the number of units of presentation that fits with what the buyers go to look for in the cash and carry. We believe that this is a growing channel, as I said. It's doing well, and where Nutresa is playing adequately. We feel very, very happy to be able to work hand-in-hand with these channels, with the various players, and we will continue to be very active, because the idea is that for also in those channels, we should have the presence that we deserve according to our market shares. These are not channels to sell the same things you traditionally sold, for example, in a pop-and-mop store or in a hypermarket. We have to develop a value offering for that channel, and that's what we've been doing, working in cooperation. And these are channels that are growing well. Thank you, Felipe.
very clear. We have no further questions. Catherine, any additional questions to the webcast?
Yes, we have one last question
that I'm going to read verbatim. And it says, an epitome. Very glad to answer this question. First is about M&A. You understand we cannot, through this medium, disclose any transaction until that is closed and completely completed and announced to the authorities. I can say that, as it is mentioned, specifically Novaventa and Vending Machines in the written question, Novaventa and Mass Vending do not only grow through acquisitions. Growth there, organic growth, and greenfields are totally viable and are obviously part of the alternatives that we're studying and we handle. With respect to the global value chains, I'd like to tell you that this is something that is in the sights of Grupo Nutresa with a high priority, and the fact that we have production platforms in every country in the Alliance, Pacific Alliance, Chile, Peru, Mexico, Colombia, that we have production platforms in Southeast Asia, Malaysia, and that we also have a presence in production and commercially in the U.S. makes this something to be constantly worked on. Part of the launches that we will be making this year make use of these global value chains. Obviously, for competitive reasons, we do not expand on that on this conference, but especially they're very, very much of our interest, and we're working on the Pacific Alliance. We work hand in hand with the export promotion offices of the countries where we operate, and we believe these are sources for new business and significant growth for Grupo Nutresa. Well, this, I expect that I've answered this question, and I give the floor to Catherine to close the conference. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. With this, we conclude the teleconference for results of the fourth quarter 2017. Thank you all for your participation and interest in Grupo Nutresa, and we remind you that the line to contact our investor relations is always available for you. Have you a very good day. Thank you very much.